In McLean County, Democrats are trying to gain traction in a sea of red. But within all of that red, there's lots of different shades, explains outgoing GOP Chair Chuck Erickson.
I mean, you have factions in every party. You have factions in the Democrat Party. You have factions in the Republican Party. You can't change that in a party.
We talk about the challenge to define political parties in Bloomington and beyond with WGLT reporter Ryan Denham. Plus, we've invited all the gubernatorial candidates to join us on the show and have asked them all the same questions, more or less like a job interview. Today, Chris Kennedy tells us why he should have the job.
I've spent my entire life in the anti-poverty world trying to help the very people that have been so damaged by Bruce Rauner's leadership.
But first, the contentious issue at the University of Illinois over Chief Illini Way. That's all coming up this hour on the 21st. Stay tuned. The latest news is next. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Tonight, the Fighting Illini face off against the Purdue Boilermakers in its last home basketball game of the season, but many eyes are going to be off the court. That's because supporters of the retired Chief Illini Weck are expected to show up tonight to argue for the mascot that the university retired more than a decade ago. But the Chief still makes appearances, and tonight, students and others in the community who make up many pro-Chief groups are calling for their supporters to, quote, stand together and, quote, show how many of us there really are. There are counter-protests planned among current students as well who find the Native American imagery offensive. This issue has persisted here in Illinois and at the U of I for much longer than most other universities, and it comes as professional teams like the Cleveland Indians have announced plans to officially retire one of their logos. We know there's a lot of strong opinions on this issue, but what message do you think the Chief sends? We'd love to have a respectful conversation about that. We've had some tweets come in already. Our handle's 21STShow. You can give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. We're going to be speaking to people on both sides of the issue, but I want to start with Mitch Smith. He's a New York Times reporter at the Chicago Bureau, and he's been reporting on this issue. Hey, Mitch, thanks for being with me. Welcome to the 21st.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Mitch, this issue has come and gone. As I mentioned, this has been going on for more than a decade. But most recently, this came up again in a big way at last fall's homecoming parade. What happened?
That's right. Yeah. No, the group, the Honor the Chief Society, which supports reinstating Chief Illini Weck, was marching in the parade. A group of protesters, including many students, including some student government members, blocked the parade route, and there was a standoff of sorts for maybe 15, 20 minutes, according to the university police, and eventually a police commanding officer had to escort the person portraying Chief Illini Weck away, and then the parade continued. No arrest, but certainly a moment that really kind of galvanized both sides of this issue.
Right. And as you said, it galvanized people. We're about to talk to them, and we'd love to hear from you. Rachel on Twitter says, I think the college should have worked with Native American groups to create an acceptable chief figure and then use the money from sales to set up scholarships for Native American students. What do you think? You can give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet us at 21STShow. I should note to our audience, we reached out to the university several times to ask them for statements on this, to invite them to join this segment, and we did not get a response. In studio with me now is Breelyn Fay. Hi, Breelyn. Thanks
Hi.
For being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
So, Breelyn, you were there
yes.
At the homecoming.
Yes.
What happened?
Wow. I was not expected to answer to that. We were in the homecoming parade. We paid just
so you were
like,
part of the Honor the Chief Society group. Well, I don't know if you're officially part of that group, but you were there with those folks.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that wasn't part of the pre-interview, but okay. Well, let's. I am the philanthropy chair of
okay.
the Honor the Chief Society. I've only been with them since August.
Okay.
So this is all rather new to me. I was riding in the convertible, and we paid just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody from the community is open to be in the parade. So we did everything by the books. We're just in the parade, and we came upon the protesters, and they were all across the street.
Yeah. So, Breland, how did that incident, did it change how you felt about things?
It frightened me quite
frightened
a bit.
You? Okay.
I didn't expect to come up on that. When the police said protesters, I thought, oh, well, you know, they're just going to be along the street with signs, you know, because that's how I viewed protesters, you know, just signs and marching, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect locked arms across a street. And one of the Urbana policemen turned to me and said, we can't protect you from here. And that really frightened me because I was in the service. I served in the U.S. Army. And I said, I spent my time and served my country. You need to do your job, too. And
yeah. So, Breland, I know you shared with me before we were on the air that you didn't even go to the University of Illinois.
Correct.
But you were so excited when you moved to Champaign-Urbana.
Yes.
Because you saw the chief imagery.
Yeah. Somebody now, took me to campus. First day I was here in Illinois, they knew I was Native. And they took
Native
me,
American.
Yes, Native American. Shawnee. My mother's side of the family is from Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And he was so excited. And unfortunately, he's no longer with us. It's been just before the chief retired, actually.
Yeah.
He took me to campus and he said, you have to see our beautiful campus and you have to see our beautiful symbol. And I fell in love and stayed
here.
And
so now you see this as an attempt to scrub Native American imagery from the campus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What and almost 90 years of history, the community's history. I mean, after your students, you go out into the community and you make your mark in the world and you carry that with you and you carry the chief with you and you carry that in your heart, you know. And to be told after having this in your heart and knowing that this is a respectful and reverent symbol and carrying that out into the country, to be told after almost 90 years, no, you're wrong. No, this is racist. And to rip that out of the community's heart, that's just wrong.
So what do you say to other people who are also Native American who think this is offensive?
What I want to say as a Native is that I was never afforded the opportunity to explore my Native side. My father was very racist, unfortunately, and neither one of my parents are with me anymore. He would say things like, I thought you people were supposed to be quiet. I thought you people were supposed to clean up after yourselves. I never got to explore my Native side. I was never allowed to know the traditions or anything. So when I see this symbol, it's like, I belong, you know, and I know other people feel that way too when they see the symbol and see other people celebrating the symbol and feeling respect and feeling reverence, they think, I belong. And I want other Natives to know that they belong too. And that's what a tribe is belonging, is sharing that love, is sharing that respect. And I think that's really why the U of I is faltering, is because they don't have that symbol anymore. They're losing respect. They're losing reverence because they're turning their back on that symbol. They're turning their back on that respect. They're turning their back on that reverence. They're saying, we don't care about respect anymore. So then why should anyone respect the U of I?
That said, Breland, what is your plan for this evening for the game?
Just to honor and respect our symbol. That's what we're wearing. We're bringing respect back to the U of I.
And what would you like to see happen with this issue?
With the whole chief issue?
The whole chief issue.
I think that the public and the community, we're tired of hearing from the NCAA about what we're supposed to think. We're tired of hearing from the chancellor about what we're supposed to think. The community want to hear from the tribes about what they think. We want to hear from the
Natives.
But
the Illini are not, unfortunately, they're not here anymore. So,
well, the Peoria tribe.
You
is.
Want the Peoria tribe. You
yeah.
want that's what you mean when you say the tribes. You want to hear from the Peoria tribe.
Well, not just me.
Okay.
The community.
Okay.
I see and hear a lot on Facebook. You know, everybody is crying out to the tribes to hear what they think. and it's silence, because the U of I, and from what I've heard, they've insulted them. The chancellor says that he wants an open dialogue, but he's been heard on video saying we need to move forward without the chief. And that's so insulting. That's so insulting to say that we need an open dialogue and then to turn around and say we need to move forward without the chief. That's not an open dialogue. That's telling people what to think, and that's not fair, because there are natives on both sides, and we need to hear both sides, and we need to understand where both sides are coming from, or there is no open dialogue.
That's Breland Fay. Breland, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on
thank
this.
You. And they are my thoughts, not the honor of the chief. They are my thoughts and my thoughts alone.
Just to be clear on that.
Yes, ma'am.
We'd love to hear everyone who's listening, your thoughts as well about what message you think the chief sends, what you would like to say about this issue. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21STShow. Going back to journalist Mitch Smith, Mitch, Breland mentioned the NCAA. I mentioned at the beginning of this, the University of Illinois is a rare case these days to still be dealing with this issue. Can you explain what the NCAA's position has been on Native American imagery in school mascots?
Yeah, in most cases in the early 2000s, the NCAA said, went and discouraged universities. There were many universities who had either nicknames or logos or imagery that were deemed offensive to some Native Americans. And in most of those cases, the colleges were kind of given an ultimatum, which was either get rid of it or you can't host postseason tournaments anymore. And so many universities in the early 2000s made changes. They changed their nickname. They changed this. And ultimately, the University of Illinois did as well. There's some exceptions, the Utah, Florida State, places where a specific tribe gave its support and consent that the NCAA allowed to continue using a name. But in most cases, including Illinois, it was early 2000s when there was a national push to get rid of most Native American nicknames and logos.
And so that was, and just if you can remind us again, so in 2007, that's when the University of Illinois said they were officially retiring the logo?
Yeah, it was,
well, not the logo, but the
chief? Yeah, exactly. So about 2 years after the NCAA told them that they had to get rid of this or not host postseason play, the university event then in the 2007 did go ahead and officially retire the chief. They had a last dance at a basketball game. It was a national news event when it happened.
I mentioned the October homecoming incident in the parade. Raneem Shamsuddin is the University of Illinois student body president. She was also there. She's a senior. She's in studio with me now. Hi, Raneem. Welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with me.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So, Raneem, you were one of the lead organizers of the protests against the chief, the honor of the chief float that was in the parade last October. Why did you do that? Why was that important for you to do that?
Absolutely. So I spent a lot of time at the Native American House my freshman and sophomore year, and that's where I learned a lot more about why they don't support the chief as our mascot or symbol. When I came on campus, I thought it looked really cool. I still think that the logo of it does look cool. And I didn't really think about why it would be harmful to other people until I went to the Native American House and saw that they had some posters speaking out against being a mascot and so forth. And I started asking questions, and it was explained to me, since I'm a black woman, if someone did blackface and walked around with the basic stereotypes of a black person at a game and said, hey, we're trying to honor you, how would that make you feel? And it made me feel like that would be really racist. And it's really unfortunate that Native Americans have been so dehumanized in our society that they had to be compared to another minority for me to even understand why people don't like it. When I found out that it was going to be at the homecoming parade, I reached out to university administration, and other Indigenous students had emailed me about it, some faculty members, community members, saying, why is this still going on? And I was actually really surprised that they would be participating, since I had gone home for the homecoming parade the year before. And so administration responded. They said, hey, no worries. You know what? we're changing our route. It's not going to go past the Native American house like it was supposed to before. And I responded saying, you know, our cultural centers, our cultural row is something that we should be very proud of and that we should be walking through with the parade. And I understand that there were some construction reasonings as well, but that certainly did not solve our problem. Like, oh, Natives aren't going to be offended by it because it's not going to go past their cultural center. So at our student government meeting, we got to planning, and after a lot of conversations with people who have been working on this issue in the past, we came to a consensus that we would not be participating in the parade in the original capacity of a float. And if we just didn't show up, no one was going to miss us. So we decided to protest that event.
And we heard Mitch and Breland say that for both, this was sort of an event that you feel like maybe, I don't know, do you feel like on campus this brought attention to it in a way that it hadn't been for a while?
Absolutely. You know, I've had a lot of students, when I talk to them about the chief issue or I see them wearing an unofficial shirt, I'll see people at parties wearing chief clothing. And I talk to them, you know, just say, hey, tell me a little bit about why you bought that shirt. And when I explain to them why maybe that was a bad idea, not one person has gotten into an argument with me about it. They say, oh, I'm sorry, like, my bad. I know a lot more now. And it striked a lot of conversations around campus about the issue, for sure.
And unofficial, for people who do not know, is a big, it's unofficial St. Patrick's Day. And it's kind of a big drinking holiday. I don't know how to describe it other than that. And that's coming up. Is that coming up next week? Right?
Yes, it's March 2nd.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about Chief Alanna Wick. If you have want to share your thoughts on it, give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21STShow. We'll continue this conversation in just a minute.
The 21st is supported by the University of Illinois Press, publisher of scholarly and regional interest books and journals, allowing local and global readers to understand and engage with the changing world. The University of Illinois Press, celebrating 100 years of publishing.
Tuning in to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We're talking about the basketball game that's going to be this evening at the University of Illinois. The Fighting Illini are playing the Purdue Boilermakers. It's the last home game of the season. There's been a lot of social media conversation about this evening's game because supporters of the now retired symbol or mascot, Chief Alanna Wick, are asking their folks to show up to, quote, stand together and show how many of us there really are. There are counter protests planned. The University of Illinois student body president Raneem Shamsuddin is in studio with me now. Raneem, for this evening, what is your plan for this evening?
Sure. So I've been working with a lot of community organizers on this. It's not a student government event, but it is in my leadership that I do do my best to represent students. And so what's planned is a little bit of a rally, you could say. We're going to be meeting in the parking lot and heading over to the stadium. Everyone will be dressed in all black, and we're going to have some posters and some signages.
I mentioned, and I should mention again, we did reach out to the University of Illinois a couple of times to give us a statement, invite them on the program, hear their position on this. We did not hear back from them. Raneem, what would you like the University of Illinois' administration to do with this?
Sure. I think that what they should have done years ago was not allow the chief to, dance or portray the chief at any of our games anymore. And while this isn't an official university symbol anymore, the chief is still going out there, and there's a lot of support for that former mascot. And so what they could be doing is not allow him in and revise our education program to talk about different cultures. I know with our school being a predominantly white institution, a lot of people haven't learned about Indigenous people, Black people, the Latinx community, you name it. And so we should be doing a lot more to revamp our educational system here.
We just got a tweet from Ben Adams. He says Native American students back in the 70s protested the cartoonish Hollywood version of the embodied in Chief Elena Wick. I was in Shambana from 69 to 73, and awareness had not yet been raised. Support Native American students instead of stereotypes. Renine, do you feel like that's, you were saying something before the break just about, do you feel like, I wonder why you think this issue still persists. Like, you weren't even, I don't even know how old you were when in 2007.
Born in 97.
Okay, so you were 10 years old when this, when the official presence of the chief left the University of Illinois campus. Why do you think it still persists?
I think it's an issue because Indigenous people don't feel comfortable attending any of our games, and it's preventing many of them from even attending our university. We're known as a school with the former racist mascot or symbol, and we only have 25 Indigenous students or students who have identified as Indigenous on our campus of almost 48,000. And the fact that many of those students, the majority of those students, don't feel comfortable attending anything. We have faculty and staff that don't feel comfortable attending anything. And the university is part of the greater Urbana-Champaign community. And when people in Urbana and Champaign don't feel comfortable being a part of the university, that's also an issue.
We've got a caller from Putnam County on the line with us. Travis, you're a U of I grad. Hi, Travis. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thank you.
What do you think? What do you think the chief stands for you?
So the chief to me is more of just a symbol of my connection to the university. When I attended the school, the chief was still, you know, prominent mascot, and it's not an issue to me, you know, of race or, you know, cultural. I understand the concerns of cultural appropriation, but it's what the, you know, it's still the team name, still the school. It seems to me it's been removed more out of concern of being politically correct versus, you know, an actual change at the school. It would be different to me if they changed the school to, you know, we're going to be a different team instead of still the Illini and just removing the mascot.
Thanks for that, Travis. I appreciate it. Mitch, let me ask you, you have wrote about this recently for the New York Times. Mitch Smith is with us. He's in New York Times Chicago Bureau. Mitch, you heard from a lot of, did you hear from a lot of people when you wrote about this who echoed the thoughts of Travis as well?
You know, I did. It's one of the few things talking both to people at the university who oppose the mascot, National Native American advocates, and also supporters of the chief. There seems to be a sense that the university never really dealt with this fully. And one thing that I know some opponents of the mascot feel like would help move along here is to get a new mascot, put a bear in a suit or a lion or something that can be that new symbol for the university. I know someone told me that they thought a void had been created and nothing had filled that place. And that's the environment in which this debate's continued to rage on for years.
Renine, what's your response to people who, people like Travis, who are saying, like, this is part of our history? This is, you know, or even Breland saying, this is what, when you, Breland saying, I'm Native American, I feel like this is a representation of something that I want to celebrate. What was your response to folks like that?
Sure. It is definitely part of our history at the University of Illinois. And it's not something we want to erase. It's something that we need to put in our past and move forward with. And, you know, a lot of things have been part of our history at the University of Illinois. We've had the KKK as an RSO at this university. We've had Black students not being allowed to live on campus at this university. Just because something is a part of our history doesn't mean that we should keep moving forward with it. And on Breland's point, I think it's really important that we remember the Indigenous people who once lived here and that we celebrate their culture. However, when the vast majority of Indigenous people speak out and hundreds of tribes say, please stop doing this, please stop stereotyping us, we have to listen to the simple majority. I mean, you go to the Native American House on campus and no one there feels comfortable around the chief. you know, we've had students come crying and telling us that their TAs are dressing up with chief apparel, and it makes them so uncomfortable to be in that class. It makes them feel like they're going to have biases, that they automatically aren't going to be liked by those teachers. And it's really that simple. If the majority of Native people don't want to be portrayed in that sense, in this imaginary, made-up way, then we shouldn't keep it.
That's Raneem Shamsuddin. She's the University of Illinois's student body president. Raneem, thanks so much for being with me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Mitch Smith, going back to you, you mentioned something at the beginning. We've talked about the NCAA. You mentioned a couple of other schools. How did other schools handle this issue? As you mentioned, I think it was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. And in some cases, more than that. And so broadly speaking, there's been a long-term shift away from using these nicknames, using these logos, using this imagery across the country. Again, there's a few examples of places that are exceptions to the rule that have been allowed to keep it: Florida State, Utah, Central Michigan among them. But then the vast majority of places that their sports teams used to be called the Braves or the Indians or something like that, they've moved on.
Well, I was going to ask, does that mean that other schools, did they actually even change the whole name? Did they change everything?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to an administrator at the University of Louisiana Monroe, so not quite as high profile of an athletic school as Illinois, but a Division I school. They used to be, I believe, the Indians, and they changed their name, changed their logo. They became the Warhawks. She said that she doesn't even think that roughly around the time that U of I retired the chief, she said she doesn't really feel like a lot of students today even know that they used to be called that. It's just that's how much that campus has moved on. There's a lot of examples of that. There's other examples like North Dakota like the University of Illinois have continued to grapple with this in really public ways. And there's not a lot of consensus yet, but certainly more cases where this was a big issue. It's been resolved. They've changed the names. Again, it doesn't mean everybody feels great about it. It doesn't mean people don't wish it was back or are still angry that they had it once, but it's no longer front and center. Homecoming parades aren't being blocked.
Right, as what happened last fall here in Urbana. Ryan, could you mention the Cleveland Indians? Can you tell us what are they doing right now? I'm sorry, Mitch, you mentioned the Cleveland Indians?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the Cleveland Indians, so the baseball team, professional team, obviously different situation there. But they have starting next year, they are not going to use their Chief Wahoo logo. It's a kind of a cartoonish logo. Long has been said has been offensive to many Native Americans. Starting next season, they're not going to wear that on the field. They're still going to sell the apparel with it, and they're still keeping the Indians' name. So certainly not everything activists have asked for, but one specific thing that they have asked for many years, that logo will be going by the wayside.
Let's go to Ross in Central Illinois, who's on the line with us. Hey, Ross, welcome. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. Ross, welcome to 21st. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm speaking about what the student body president just said. I'm a U of I student, and I was also born in 97, and I am, to me, the Chief Illini Wek, I'm one of the youngest people I saw the Chief perform when he was still our symbol here on the university. But one thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if a lot of people understand this, but the first Chief Illini Wek in 1926 was a student by the name of Lester Lutweiler. And he had Native American. Oh. I've seen videos that the foundation did. They had a good relationship with tribes, and actually the last outfit that was presented to the University of Illinois, I think in 83, was by the Peoria tribe. And I also, maybe to rebut a little bit, I'm not trying to cause an argument or anything, but I think maybe that some of the reluctance to go to some of the sporting events might just be because of the lack of good play, and that a lot of our teams have been successful in the last few years. I'm going to be attending the game tonight, and I'm not going to cause any problems. I mean, I'll go, I'll watch them, but I just want to get my thoughts in.
Yeah, so are you going to be attending the game tonight? Are you going to be with the Honor the Chief Society folks, Ross?
I'm not affiliated with them. I'm just a fan. I don't have any Chief apparel with me. I have I did have a cap, but unfortunately I lost that over the summer. But I'm
so you're going to the game. All right. Yeah,
I'm going to the game.
Thanks for that, Ross.
Just like mm-hmm. I always have.
Thank you so much. That's Ross. He's calling us from Elliott, just about 40 minutes north of Urbana. Mitch, I think a lot of this comes down to, as everyone's talking about, there are a lot of issues of pride. There's a lot of issues of identity. But this is also about money, I imagine, and alumni endowments and merchandising and branding. You mentioned Florida State University. The Seminole Tribe gets a cut of the revenue, right? And I guess as part of the issue here, there isn't necessarily a Native American group. Breland mentioned the Peoria Tribe to work with on this issue.
You know, that's one thing that's been mentioned, and there's different, and I haven't delved as deeply into this as some have, but there's different versions of history on who the Fighting Illini name might represent, and there doesn't seem to be a unanimous view of who could or should be speaking for the people being represented by that nickname. I mean, and so that certainly complicates, and that's one of the reasons they've been allowed to keep the nickname. Other schools had to change their nickname too.
But that's why the NCAA let them keep it.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So they had to get rid of the native imagery. They got rid of the logo. They got rid of the official mascot, but they kept the name. And then, but that has, as your conversation today has shown, has created its own set of issues and really important debates, as you said, about identity, about what it means to support the University of Illinois, about what just clashing views of what this represents or doesn't.
Let's go to Eric in Champaign, who's on the line with us, another U of I grad. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the 21st. What are your thoughts on this issue?
Well, I'm somebody who's really come full circle on this issue. I was born in Champaign. I've been an Illini fan for unbelievably 50 years now, and I used to really support the Chief because I thought that I had a lot of respect and love for Native Americans, and I got goosebumps when I would watch the dance and hear the music. But it wasn't until I realized that my intentions kind of don't matter. It's to honor something doesn't matter how you feel; it matters how the people you're supposedly honoring feel, and so. The perfectly titled movie In Whose Honor showed me that it isn't about me and my feelings. It's about the Native Americans, this group of people that basically white America committed genocide against and herded the remaining 3% into tiny little basically uninhabitable pieces of land. And now we're saying we can do what we want with your image. Well, that's wrong. And when they say that hurts me, I listen. It's my job to listen. It doesn't matter if I get goosebumps. It doesn't matter if I have cool shirts. It doesn't matter if I claim to love Native Americans. And so I had to stop, and I had to go on the other side of this issue. And it shocks me that more people in this community haven't. And it also shocks me that people in this community who claim to be honoring and respecting the Chief will still not have any objection to there being a Sullivan Redskins team in this area.
Eric, I'm sorry I'm going to have to stop you because we're out of time, but thanks for sharing your thoughts. I really appreciate it. We can continue the conversation online if folks want to continue to tweet to 21STShow. We'll have it up on our Facebook page as well for people to comment. But I want to thank Mitch Smith for being with us as well, who's been covering this issue for the New York Times. Mitch, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. If you've been listening this week, you've heard some of our conversations with candidates running for governor. We've recorded seven of them, and we've been asking most of them the same questions, like a job interview. There are six Democrats running and two Republicans, one of whom is Governor Bruce Rauner. Just a note, we've reached out to Governor Rauner to invite him to join us on the program a number of times for these interviews, but have not received a response. He's welcome anytime. Today, I'm joined by Democratic candidate and Chicago businessman Chris Kennedy. He chairs the Kennedy Family Investment Firm and was president of Merchandise Mart Properties for 12 years. He's also served as chairman of the Greater Chicago Food Depository and is the founder of the Top Box nonprofit. He's also served as a past chair of the Board of Trustees at the University of Illinois. Yesterday, his campaign got the endorsement for the Chicago Tribune. Chris Kennedy, welcome to the 21st.
Great to be on the show. Thank you.
So Illinois went more than 2 years without a full budget. We know that many of the most vulnerable people in our state have been hit hard and in many ways are still recovering from that. Why should voters entrust you with helping make sure that doesn't happen again?
Well, I've spent my entire life in the anti-poverty world trying to help the very people that have been so damaged by Bruce Rauner's leadership. I moved to Illinois in 1986 from Boston to Decatur to work for ADM so I could learn how people are fed in the United States and join the anti-hunger movement that was burgeoning in the 80s because of the decisions made by government. At that time, it was Ronald Reagan. Today, we have Bruce Rauner. The great barometer of Bruce Rauner's leadership can be summed up in this way. The state of Illinois has a shrinking economy, and yet at the same time, we have rising household income, not because anybody's making more money, not because paychecks have gone up, but because we've pushed the poor out of our state. Anybody with a sick child, a disabled brother or sister, elderly parents who needed home health care knew that they needed to leave Illinois in order to make sure they had access to that. And when the poor left, it made the rest of us who stayed behind look wealthier. That's a terrible, terrible fact, a violation of anything that we believe in if we have a, well, moral compass. And I don't think that the current governor has one.
As you mentioned that, I wanted to ask you about taxes and revenue and your perspective on this. As we look at funding the state government, the tax question has been a prominent issue. Last year, we saw our individual income tax rate go from 3.75% to 4.95%. The corporate tax rate went up to 7%. You said you'd like to do away with this flat tax rate for individuals. Can you give us some more specifics on that?
Sure. I think there are other ways to restore fairness and to fund our state. I'm painfully aware of the notion that people can pretend that they live in Florida or somewhere else and still derive income in the state of Illinois and not pay their fair share of taxes here. I think we should close that loophole, the same loophole that places like New York and California have closed as well. I think we need to look at how we tax internet sales because, well, if you get delivery in our state, where the transaction occurs, the major sellers off the internet are not paying local taxes in a way that I believe they should. So I think there's some fairness that needs to be recreated in our structure so everybody believes in the integrity. I think more important than anything else is the idea that we need to transition away from a reliance on property taxes to a reliance on a graduated progressive income tax, allowing the wealthiest among us to pay their fair share. And if we give them a growing economy, if we reinvest in our state, I think they'll be just fine with that.
And so you do favor a progressive individual state income tax?
I very much favor a progressive individual income tax where people who make more money have more disposable income, can pay taxes out of that disposable income rather than on the dollars that should go to living expenses. I think that is more fair, and that's how you drive the best economies in the United States.
So what percentages are, what percentages are you thinking of in terms of that then?
I think in terms of creating a specific range, that we don't know what Bruce Rauner's leadership is going to lead to in the final year of his term in office. We don't know whether he'll go another year with out of budget. And that may be his objective in life, to create so many unpaid bills in the state of Illinois that the state can do little more than tax people to pay off unpaid bills. That way, I think in his ideal world, the government would shrink and its functionality gets so small that he could drown in a bathtub. I think that's his view, his vision, and that's a libertarian vision. And I believe in the notion of a state as a commonwealth. That's what they call the earliest states in America, Commonwealth of Virginia, Commonwealth of Massachusetts, where people come together to create that commonwealth, to do for each other what they can't do alone.
I wanted to ask you about another issue that you've spent a lot of time talking about, stopping gun violence. That's been a central theme of your campaign. And I wanted to ask, in your opinion, what are some of the root causes you see of gun violence? And I'm not just talking about Chicago, but I'm talking about other communities throughout Illinois as well.
Chicago is, on a per capita basis, is not the most violent place in Illinois. The issue of violence is present across our state, which is why the state needs to take responsibility for it. We've laid out a pretty detailed anti-violence program, which is available on the Kennedy for Illinois website. And there are lots of ways that we can reduce the number of illegal guns in our state. Having said that, our fundamental belief is that opportunity is the enemy of violence, and economic oppression is its partner in crime. If we give people opportunity, then, I mean, real opportunity, they can move away from committing crimes of survival and join our broader economy and our broader culture. And that's not happening. For too many people in our state, the lack of funding for their local schools undereducates them, making it nearly impossible for young people to join the modern 21st century American economy. And we need to fully fund our schools, giving anybody, no matter where they live in the state, the same chance as everybody else in our state or in America.
To that point, we've been asking our listeners via social media to chime in with questions they wanted to ask. And on Facebook, we got a question from Wendy, who wanted to know more about your plans to increase access to higher education and funding for our public universities.
That is a super question. And part of the reason why it's so relevant is if you look at the state of California and what's happened out there, I think they have a $6 billion surplus at the government level. And a lot of that credit goes to the governor who just stepped down, Jerry Brown. But I would give much of the credit to his father, Pat Brown, who was governor of the state of California in the late 50s and early 60s. During that period, Governor Brown reorganized the system of higher education in the state of California, linking all universities, colleges, and community colleges together. That way, it allowed anybody, no matter where they lived in the state of California, access to a local community college so that they could complete either 2 or 4 years of college super inexpensively. It also created what are called articulation agreements, that is the ability for credits earned in one school to be recognized by any other school, and clarified that process for everybody in the state so that if you went to a community college, hit certain grades, that you could transfer to the college of your choice. I think organizing our universities and colleges and our community colleges and funding them so that we can have the best educational outcomes in the country is the single most important thing that we can do to rebuild our economy.
We've also gotten a couple questions about pensions. Of course, Illinois owes hundreds of billions of dollars in debt related to that. How would you pay off our debt, work towards beginning to pay off that, as well as still keep or increase the quality of social services that we have in the state?
I think the hallmark of our campaign is the notion of restoring the American dream, that is upward economic mobility for everybody in the state. But that American dream, it needs to sit firmly on the rule of law. And in terms of the rule of law, we need to make sure that we don't try to take away the pension benefits that people have earned under a contract with their employer, the state of Illinois. And the notion of opening up the state constitution and by majority rule taking away something that belongs to others is an affront to the notion of the rule of law. I don't think we should ever do that. People who've earned a pension ought to be able to keep it. Having said that, we need to find a way to fund those pensions. And my belief is that that's totally doable when we have a growing economy. To fund the pensions, we need to look at, most importantly, the duration by which we want to get fully funded. And we have artificial timelines in some of those pension agreements that jam up the state. And by extending the duration with the cooperation of the unions and the approval of the legislature, I think we could buy ourselves some time put in a little money now, make sure we never miss a pension payment again, and we'll be able to fully fund our government services and our pension obligations at the same time.
I'm speaking with Chris Kennedy, a Chicago businessman who's one of six Democrats who's running for governor. You know, one of the most controversial issues Governor Rauner faced last year was not just HB 40, which I want to ask you about in a minute, but also immigration. One of the things we've heard his opponent discuss a lot, his Republican opponent anyway. Do you think state resources should be used to help enforce federal immigration law when it comes to detention and deportation?
I think it's really important that the state of Illinois, at the government level, resist the efforts by the Trump administration to wage war on people living in our country. When you're in trouble, historically, any government in any century, they have, well, two strategies to unify support for themselves. One, attack a foreign country, or two, attack domestically a minority population. That trick has been used for centuries, and I believe that President Trump is using it now to try to unify and activate his base. I think Jeannie Ives is trying to do that in the Republican Party. I think people who are living in America should be treated as Americans, and I think it's a public safety issue as well. I think we've seen crime reduced in our major cities because of the notion of community policing, and I think that sanctuary status is really an extension of community policing, where the members of the immigrant community can rely on the police, the police can rely on them to work together to solve crimes and reduce violence. If, on the other hand, we threaten the 800,000 or 1.8 million Dreamers who are living in our country with deportation, no one is going to cooperate with the local police, and you'll have crime rates soar and very bad outcomes for community policing across the state of Illinois. So I fully stand behind the notion of a sanctuary status for the state of Illinois, and we ought to expand it to areas of health care and schooling and of course, places of worship.
We just have a few minutes left. I just wanted to ask you quickly about HB 40. Would you have signed that bill?
I would have signed that bill. And I think that providing access to women's health care across the state should be considered a government obligation and a right. And I think HB 40 takes us a long way to protecting those rights. If we're a state that doesn't protect women's rights to access to health care of their choice, well, then in a mobile society where people move from state to state, you're going to see people move away from our state or choose not to come here.
We just have about a minute left. I just wanted to ask you two quick last questions. First, why do you want to be governor?
Well, I don't want to die alone. And I'm worried because the next generation of kids in Illinois are leaving the state. My wife, Sheila, and I have four kids. Three are just out of college and one is a freshman. They're going to make a decision about where to live, where to plant their roots, and they're going to make that decision soon. I want them to remain in Illinois. If I'm lucky enough to have grandkids, I want to be around my grandkids to help raise them, and I want my children and grandchildren to be around me as I get older. I don't think they're going to do that if we remain in the same track that we're on now, a state that's government's designed to help a handful of people enrich themselves through government contracts and a property tax racket that helps a few and hurts the many. I think if we don't fix those problems, the next generation is going to move away. And I believe I can fix those problems.
What's your favorite place to visit in Illinois?
I'd say this. I've gone on bike rides. I'd like to bike ride. And my favorite ride will always be along the Chicago lakefront. I've never been to Africa, but the Oak Savannah up in Lake County is as beautiful a thing as I think I've ever seen. And I'd say the confluence of the Ohio River and the Mississippi River, where they meet in Cairo, is one of the most incredible places I've ever seen. My favorite day at the University of Illinois was probably the visit to the Emmaquan Reserve in McLean County. So I don't know. I've got.
You just gave us four.
Can you? Are beautiful.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. Chris Kennedy is one of six Democrats who are running for governor. He's a businessman in Chicago, chairing the Kennedy Family Investment Firm, former president of Merchandise Mart Properties. He's also served as chairman of the Greater Chicago Food Depository, former chair of the Board of Trustees at University of Illinois, and founder of Top Box Foods nonprofit. Thanks for being with me.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
That does it for us today. As we said, the primary is on March 20th. Joining us on tomorrow's program is Democratic candidate Bob Diber. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.